broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Oh God, our help in ages.
A vigil in Perry, Iowa, site of the New Year's second school shooting. A sixth grader was killed, five people wounded on the first day back from winter break. Mitch Mordvet with Iowa's Division of Criminal Investigation.
Once inside, they located multiple individuals with gunshot wounds. Officers immediately attempted to locate the source of the threat and quickly found what appeared to be the shooter with a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
They say the suspect, a 17-year-old student at the school, was armed with a shotgun and a handgun. No motive yet. People from Pennsylvania to New England are bracing for a blast of winter weather this weekend. Meteorologist Mike Bettis at the Weather Channel.
A big swath of snow here. Many locations, 5 or more inches of snow. Small pockets where we get more than a foot.
Icy conditions expected as far south as North Carolina. Transit officials in New York City say 24 people were injured when a subway train collided with another that was disabled by vandals who'd activated the emergency brakes.
It was really loud that the other train literally got destroyed. Like, the whole floor was just crunched up together. The seats weren't even, they didn't even look like seats no more. The poles were open. It was just really bad.
There were 4 transit workers on that stopped train. None of the injuries is considered serious. The Pentagon says the pro-Iran militant commander killed in an American airstrike in Baghdad yesterday was planning more attacks on U.S. forces. Correspondent David Martin.
We have retaliated before for these missile attacks on U.S. troop locations in Iraq and Syria, but we have retaliated against warehouses and safe houses. We haven't gone after the leaders of these militia groups themselves. This time, they specifically targeted one leader.
Vladimir Putin's latest move could signal ranks are thinning in Russia's war in Ukraine. He's issued a decree allowing foreign nationals who fight for his country to obtain Russian citizenship for themselves and their families. To qualify, they'd have to serve for at least 1 year. The government will release the December jobs report later this morning. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Throughout 2023, the labor market remained extremely strong. The U.S. economy created more than 200,000 jobs per month. In December, the number is expected to drift lower to around 160,000 jobs.
Right now, S&P futures are unchanged. Dow futures down 11. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oriel for Senator Herb Kohl is a week from Friday in Milwaukee. Kohl helped build his family's chains of grocery and department stores. He served 4 terms as a U.S. senator, and he owned the Milwaukee Bucks for many years. People can make donations in Kohl's name to the La Follette School of Public Affairs, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and Wisconsin Teachers Classroom Projects. 47 groups led by farmers got $1 million worth of grants from the state of Wisconsin last year. The money from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections supports farmer-led initiatives to improve Wisconsin's soil and water quality. This is the 9th round of grant awards since funding was first made available in the 2015-2017 state budget. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, 2 of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL. Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields on what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, cloudy sky, few flurries late, high in the mid-30s. Scattered flurries tomorrow night into Saturday, high again in the mid-30s. Flurries wrap up Saturday night, partly sunny and low 30 Sunday. It's 24 right now.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, January 5th. It's once again another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, or through our social media video feeds. If you're listening on demand by podcast, thank you for subscribing and taking us along on your day. I've got a question for you here. Have you been able to avoid the colds, the flu, the other crud that other people have been sharing throughout the holiday season? You drinking your orange juice, doing everything you can to stay away from the otherwise infected. I feel like a marked man that I've avoided all of it so far. There's a lot going around, and everybody should hunker down where best. Who was I talking to last night? Said they went someplace and they're back to masking up again just because they knew everybody around them was under the weather and they didn't want to catch it. You can tell us how you're feeling and putting up with the seasonal afflictions by ringing up our studio line, 844-967-2789, or whatever else is on your mind today. You can call us or text us through the Civic Media app as well. Email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching the live video feed on one of our Facebook pages, put a question or comment up there. We might show it up on screen and respond to it there as well. Here's what else we have coming up this morning. It's been 3 years since the violent culmination of Donald Trump's deadly effort to seize control of the United States government, even though he had lost a presidential election. Despite ongoing efforts to whitewash history, the January 6th attack is going to remain a permanent feature of U.S. history. So we'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about what that means for Trump's effort to get back to the White House. Then, in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll continue that conversation with former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney, who talks about the January 6th anniversary and how anybody involved in law enforcement should not only recognize that this was an attack on law enforcement as well as an attack on democracy and the right to vote, but the importance of not seeing that insurrection through a partisan lens, but to see it through an American lens, a pro-democracy lens, and even if the insurrection involved some people that you might have otherwise supported in the past or even voted for in the past, there's a line here someplace. And that's a line that no longer makes some of those folks worthy of your support. Also in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk about fair maps into Wisconsin, or at least fairer maps, as the progressive legal group Law Forward, which led the effort to challenge and finally take down the most gerrymandered legislative maps in the country, will join us in the form of Nicole Safar from Law Forward, We'll talk about the recent state Supreme Court ruling, then we'll talk about what happens next. We'll visit with Dan Schumacher to talk a bit about sports. We will visit with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot as well to get the forecast as we head into the weekend. And so heading into the weekend, let's take a look at temperatures around Wisconsin in this 6 a.m. hour on this Friday. About 5 degrees warmer or so in the northern two-thirds of the state, actually a little cooler in the southern part of the state compared to yesterday. It's 27 up here on Lake Wissota. Hayward's at 24, Park Falls 22, Wausau 24, Green Bay 25. In La Crosse, it's 28 degrees right now. Wisconsin Rapids reporting 26. Oshkosh 24, but still in the teens down in Madison where it's 18 and 19 in Waukesha, where we find one Greg Bach down at the studios of The Shaw and WAUK. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good, 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 good. You give this nice tip of the cap, you twirl your hands, and I'm trying to remember the old Johnny Carson bit with Karnak the Magnificent, and I believe Simsalabim was the way that he, so not politically correct, tried to do that character back in the day.
Oh, my God. I remember watching when they used to run The Best of Carson, like at 5. I was would wake up really early in the morning, and they'd run Best of Carson early in the morning.
Really?
And, oh, wow. And Karnak, I would laugh so hard, I would be doubled over. It made me, I mean, every bit with that envelope, everything about it was so funny.
Well, it leads me to this point about Carson and about comedy in general. And then don't let me forget to ask about what's happening at the Laughing Tap.
Of course.
Is that right?
You
did.
Good job.
My memory is not what it ought to be. Anyway, so there's you know, the new season of TV shows is finally underway after the writer's strike.
Yeah.
And NBC has been promoting the heck out of this new sitcom with John Cryer from Two and a Half Men and Donald Faison from Scrubs.
Yeah.
And we watched that first episode, and then we watched the reboot of Night Court, which we're going to continue to watch because it's John Larroquette.
Yes, exactly.
But in both cases, and especially in the John Cryer case, we said, you know, it's one thing to be a comedic actor, but the actual comedy, the words matter too. And there's a big difference between a sitcom written by Chuck Lorre, like Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory and all those, and those who aren't. And I'm not saying there aren't other good TV comedy writers, but Chuck Lorre and his team, again, we would guarantee to laugh out loud in every episode at something. And we didn't laugh out loud once, you know, watching these shows on Tuesday. Again, doesn't mean the shows were bad, but we just really learned to appreciate comedy writers.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? That's why I'm making the pivot to you is that stand-up comedians have to do both. They're writing the stuff on their own by and large and having to deliver it. And as I've told you many times, and I'll tell you again, man, that's something I could never do. I will never not appreciate people who give stand-up comedy a try, much less comedy writing.
Well, I mean, and what's great about a sitcom or a comedy show, and I've never written on a show, but I've written for like live shows, is being in a writer's room where you get to bounce ideas off. You get to, you know, just, I mean, honestly, you're sitting around telling jokes and the things that, you know, stick to the wall, go into the script. Stand-up is a lot harder, but it's very, very fun because you feel very accomplished when you're like, oh, I've written something really great here. I'm also watching the Night Court reboot. I'll say it. It's more nostalgia for me. I love John Larroquette.
Yeah, it is. If he weren't there, I wouldn't be watching it at all. They just tried a straight reboot with all new characters.
No,
well, they wouldn't make it.
And now they've gotten rid of, like, there's a character who's gone now, and you know, and most of the original cast are no longer with us.
Right.
Marsha Warfield and John Larroquette are the only ones there.
And she made a guest appearance on this first episode here, continuing from the season finale before. But it was just so nice to see Roz again. It was nostalgic.
Yeah.
But it didn't get the laughs that they used to get.
Have you watched, speaking of Chuck Lorre, because I'm deep in watching this, Bob Hart's Abishola?
My wife is a huge fan of that show. I watch it casually, but she really enjoys it.
My mom started talking about it, and I was like, all right, I'll watch it later. And then I started watching it last week, and I'm just hooked. And its last season starts soon, next month, and then it's going to be done. But yeah, I Chuck Lorre, like, he is one of the, like, he's going to go down as one of the greatest television comedy producers, maybe the best one ever.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
So many shows, so many. Yep. And all of his shows have like three, four, five, 10, 11 seasons. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The record of short seasons on his watch, very few.
Yeah.
They almost always hit.
Yeah.
And he also has that tradition now built over way back in the Dharma and Greg days of his end title card,
yeah,
which is different every week.
Yep.
And just a little blurb from him.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that makes you laugh out loud as well. So now, I don't know the man personally. He might be a first-class jerk. I don't know. I just know the product. So what about the product at the Laughing Tap? Are you guys busy this weekend?
Oh, we are very busy. We have three shows coming up tonight and two tomorrow with Mr. Sean Patton, who... I will say this is probably one of the best stand-up comedians alive. He is so smart and so funny, and I just enjoy having him here. He's a good guy. He's just down to earth, and he just can stand on stage. And he's one of those comics where you watch him and you're like, I could do this because he's just talking. It just seems like he's talking, but he's not. These are crafted jokes that makes it sound like he's just having a conversation with you, but they are... I mean, he's brilliant. He's brilliant.
And I'm glad you use the word craft because I use it all the time again with wordsmithing.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, you're just sitting at a keyboard. That's not craftsmanship. Oh, the heck it isn't.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know? Though I always said that in every newsroom I worked in, that every word matters.
Mm-hmm.
And the same especially goes for comedy, how one word can change it all.
Yeah.
So, well, great. I am glad to hear about that. Let me give a little sports update here at 6:16 as we continue on our Friday morning here across the Civic Media Radio Network. The first battle between Milwaukee Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo and San Antonio Spurs rookie sensation Victor Wembanyama exceeded the hype. Apparently, Giannis had 44 points, 14 rebounds, and Milwaukee overcame an electric performance by Wembanyama playing on his 20th birthday to beat San Antonio last night, 125-121. The Bucks will wrap up this week's three-game road trip at Houston tomorrow night, and you can hear Bucks basketball on Oshkosh Air Support, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team hosts Nebraska on Saturday. That would be tomorrow at noon. And you can catch the Badger men's basketball game Saturday afternoon on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine as well. And then Badger men's hockey, ranked number 5 in the country now. And they are on a 7-game winning streak, and they take that to Notre Dame for games tonight and tomorrow. So we'll be looking for that as well. Greg, I know one of my New Year's resolutions was to drink more water and do other healthier things. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was one of those days I didn't really get around to it. And it was almost like my body said, hey, let me explain how serious it is to drink more water.
Yeah.
And I got a leg cramp at about, I don't know, 1:30. I don't know what time it was. That is definitely top 5
yeah.
material on leg cramps in the middle of the night.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm right there with you. Last year, one of them, oh my gosh, I woke up with it wasn't even like a leg cramp in much as it was just my legs stopped moving. Like I was I was in so much pain. And I'm like, okay, stop eating late, eat better, drink water.
Yeah. And you can get away with kind of cheating on that for a time when you're younger, but boy, there comes a time. you don't dare. And I learned that the hard way.
You dared.
I dared, and I still got the pain to show for it. We'll pause here. We'll continue on with unpacking the news for this Friday. All across the Civic Media Radio Network, we're live from Lake Wissota. This is Up North News Radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hello, come on.
There it is. Come on now. Ease on down. Ease on down the road. Come on. Ease on down. Ease on down the road.
That, of course, would be Michael Jackson and Diana Ross. With a song from The Wiz, the Broadway musical that premiered on this day in 1975, an adaptation of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz with an all-black cast, and future disco diva Stephanie Mills played the role of Dorothy in there. So again, this day in 1975, more of This Day in History, a little history lesson and musical memories coming up in about a half hour. The Up North News Daily newsletter is out. Christina Laurie puts that together for us, and that comes into your inbox first thing. As soon as you wake up, it's going to be there right near the top. Christina, this week and next week is doing a lot in looking back at 2023 at a lot of the stories that were covered in the newsletter or people doing great things throughout the course of the year. And her headline up top this morning is three times that Wisconsin chefs or Wisconsin products made national headlines. So she talks all about that. She's got some food headlines to look out for. Some shopping secrets from Wisconsin's biggest supermarket chains and more. So look for that particular special edition coming out in your mailbox. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. We're going to talk in our next hour more about the gerrymandered legislative maps. Redistricting is what it's called. They have to draw new districts for the people who represent you in the Wisconsin legislature. It is something that, you know, is never easy to begin with. It's basically one of those math word problems, you know, that nobody really likes. It says, take the state of Wisconsin and divide it up as evenly as possible, which would be, I don't know the exact number, so I'm going to pluck a number out, 60,000 people. Puts 60,000 people in 33 different Senate districts. And then divide each of those into three for, say, 20,000 people or so in each of those districts. Keep the districts as uniform or practicable, as compact as possible, because that's common sense. So it's never an easy thing, but through computer modeling and through past, you know, data history, demographics, address information, you make these maps, and you can either make them according to that standard that would protect all voters in Wisconsin, or you can use that data and draw the maps higgledy-piggledy and have them. That might be one of those ring-a-bell words, Greg. I'm sorry, higgledy-piggledy. You can draw it that way. And, you know, Kristen Lyerly has done a great job putting up just the Senate districts in Northeast Wisconsin on her social media feed this week, showing, again, the whole reason it's called gerrymandering is somebody, was it Eldridge, Jerry, drew these maps that look like a salamander. And some of these districts now still do. It's how we got the word gerrymander. Well, anyway, these districts were drawn especially bad. I would use the word corrupt. Back in 2011, they were redrawn to be even more so after this last 2020 census. And you'd say, well, why didn't some court strike it down? Well, because you have both a state Supreme Court for 15 years and a U.S. Supreme Court controlled by conservatives who aren't looking at the law so much as looking at their own partisan interests. And that's why you have in Wisconsin a 50-50 state, where if you look at the last 16 major statewide elections, if you treat every Wisconsin voter equally, the Democratic or progressive candidate has won 13 out of those 16 elections. And a couple of others were really, really close. So if anything, Wisconsin is a slightly blue state, or at least 50-50 in terms of balance. But here's how out of whack those maps are, if you hadn't heard this before. Republicans have a two-thirds supermajority in the state Senate. They have two-thirds of the seats because of the way they drew the lines. And they have a near two-thirds supermajority in the Assembly. Well, with the election of Janet Protasiewicz to the state Supreme Court and tipping control to the progressives, you actually have progressives in this case following the original intent of the law in striking down these current maps. And we're going to talk to Nicole Safar from Law Forward in our next hour about this. But I bring it up now to say that it's never an easy thing to do. The state Supreme Court is looking at drawing new maps, and they're not going to do this, you know, out of the blue. They're going to need help. And so the court has hired two consultants who have experience with this to analyze the best way to draw fairer maps, new legislative boundary lines. The news story yesterday was that these two consultants, will be paid up to $100,000 each. And again, in a standalone story, you're going to say one of two things. You're going to say, yeah, that's a hard job. $100,000 sounds about right. Or you're going to try to make political hay out of this and say, $100,000, that'd be $200,000 total for this travesty, blah, 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 blah. What is missing from a lot of these news stories yesterday is that a $200,000 price tag to the taxpayer is dwarfed by the more than $2 million tax bill, for example, racked up by the Republican quote-unquote investigation by former right-wing state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman into alleged improprieties in the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Well, there never were irregularities. Gableman was never going to find any, but like any good buffoon, he stumbled and bumbled his way through, made many mistakes, cost the taxpayers so much more in legal fees as he tried to prevent public records from being shared. And so these consultants alone, that's 10% of the money that has been wasted by Republicans on just that investigation, not to mention all of the private attorneys' fees to defend these current gerrymandered maps, on top of the legal fees to draw these corrupt maps in the first place. So when you see the stories about two consultants each getting $100,000 to actually give you fairer maps in Wisconsin, just keep in mind how much it costs, how much it has cost you to have these maps rigged in the first place. Also in the Capitol, Governor Tony Evers has been granting kind of a combination of end-of-the-year interviews and start-of-the-year interviews. And I actually talked to the governor yesterday. I'm going to be putting that together over the weekend and sharing some of that here on the program next week, because it was a less traditional interview. It was more of a speed round of several questions about Wisconsin news and about Wisconsin on the whole. But he did a string of these interviews, and so some of the other interviews are already being posted, including from the AP here, Governor Evers, who has pushed for full legalization of recreational marijuana, has said he is open to a more limited medical marijuana proposal being promoted by Republicans. Now, that still doesn't mean it's going to happen. Many Republicans still oppose any kind of legalization, even medical marijuana. But the governor's now saying that if that's all Republicans can muster to get passed, then he would be willing to go along with that. Meanwhile, in an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Evers says that Senator Ron Johnson and other Republicans who posed as fake electors ought to, quote, pay a price for their ties to former President Donald Trump's failed scheme to stay in power. Molly Beck wrote that up in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Evers said of Ron Johnson, he was part of the deal. Something should happen to him. He knew. Why in the world would a U.S. senator involve himself with something that is patently against the law? So look for more headlines about interviews with Governor Evers coming up over the coming weeks. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil joins us next. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief.
Oh God, our help in
a
vigil last night in Perry, Iowa, after a sixth grader was killed by a 17-year-old suspect. Investigators are still looking for a motive. Governor Kim Reynolds.
It's impossible to understand why anything like this happens. We'll work tirelessly to get the answers so that we can prevent it from happening again.
Snowplow drivers like Jacob Holyoke in Worcester, Mass. Are looking forward to the first major snowstorm of the season this weekend.
I didn't really believe it at first. You know, I thought, maybe. But now, I mean, it's been cold the last couple days, so hopefully something turns out of it.
The Pentagon says the pro-Iran militant commander killed in an American airstrike yesterday was planning more attacks on U.S. troops. Major General Pat Ryder.
The strike was taken in self-defense, that no civilians were harmed, and that no infrastructure or facilities were struck.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Making simulations of child pornography with artificial intelligence may become a crime in Wisconsin. A legislative committee heard testimony Wednesday on a bill. State Representative Calvin Callahan says AI images are created from real photos, and he says those kids are victims. Voting is good for your health, according to the American College of Physicians. Research shows states with fewer barriers to voting have better health outcomes. ACP President Omar Attic.
If there is more voter participation, there will be better health care policies and therefore better health care.
Wisconsin's ballot access ranked 47th in the 2022 Cost of Voting Index. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victory.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, cloudy sky, few flurries late, high in the mid-30s. Scattered flurries tomorrow night into Saturday, high again in the mid-30s. Flurries wrap up Saturday night, partly sunny and low 30 Sunday. It's 24 right now.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Nothing is everything.
With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We'll be right back.
at 6:34 on this Friday morning. Kia Bakil joins us now, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom from out west on the coast there. Kia, how are you?
I am well, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Did you spend your holidays on the coast, or did you get back to the Philly area, or what?
Neither. I went to North Carolina, where my girlfriend's family lives. So we were there for 5 days in the Wilmington area.
Nice. Okay. And the holiday travels go okay? Get all your luggage?
You know, we did get all our luggage. We did not have any flight delays, so cannot complain beyond the fact that, you know, airplane seats are no longer made for human-sized adults.
Oh, my gosh. No, they're not. I took a Sun Country flight from the Twin Cities down to Harlingen, Texas, and we like Sun Country very much, but yeah. Those seats are, I mean, phone booths are luxurious by comparison.
They truly are. And we flew American. So, you know, some of the flights were better than others, but I'm 6'4". I'm on the, you know, the heftier side of the weight spectrum. And
fluffy is the way my wife describes all of us of a certain proportion. So yeah,
those seats are meant for people who are much shorter and smaller than me. So, but other than that, it was fine.
Yeah. But it gets me reminiscing, and I did this a couple of times when talking about the seat size. And anybody listening in and around the Milwaukee area is going to understand how many of us still pine for Midwest Express with the nice wide seats. Every seat on the plane was a wide seat. And you got the warm chocolate chip cookies, you know, when you got on board. And, you know, it was such a bygone era that nobody wanted to go away. But then it did. And here's where we are now. So as we get into covering some of the news, let's just hit one thing that we missed over the holidays. Is there any chance that Nikki Haley is now giving a straight answer to what caused the Civil War?
If she has, I've missed it. and I'm addicted to the news in a way that is questionable. No, I do not. No, she. And frankly, the reason for that is that if she did, she would lose votes. I think, unfortunately, we're at a point where to be competitive in a Republican primary, you pretty much have to spew nonsense and lies about American history and what caused the Civil War. There's only one answer to that, and it's slavery. So, you know, no, I don't think she's come around to actually saying the truth.
And here's the thing, transitioning to, you know, what's coming up this weekend is much like the Civil War, you're trying to get, what did Kellyanne Conway call them? Alternative facts about January 6th. But it seems pretty clear now that January 6th is a permanent part of our discourse and that you can't whitewash it. It wasn't a bunch of rogue tourists or anything like that. So I guess my question for you would be, as we approach January 6th, what does that mean for Trump that it really is part of our history now? It's not something they could essentially wish away.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it says, it is part of our history. He incited what was one of the worst events in American history. And, you know, most voters have not forgotten that. Most voters do not think it's like a positive thing that he did that. The problem is, though, is that, you know, the conservative media apparatus has spent 3 years lying, creating conspiracies, what if-ing, and really just trying to memory hole this and spin it. And it's proven effective among Republican voters. You know, you see poll after poll showing a lot of people think the FBI instigated it. They don't think it was a big deal. They don't think it was that violent. And then you look at Democratic voters and independent voters who, you know, largely see it for what it was.
I kind of look at them like, really? Come on.
Yeah. So it's very much part of our politics. You know, we see the president's going to talk about it this weekend in Pennsylvania. I think it'll play a role in the 2024 election, you know, and potentially beyond. But it's honestly staggering and a little disappointing that it hasn't had a bigger impact on our nation's climate in terms of political discourse and, you know, partisan election results, frankly.
I'll tell you what, we knew early on in the Trump presidency that there were things that weren't going to stick. Mm-hmm. It was known from the get-go he was going to be directly or indirectly getting cash money from foreign governments, which would have been a huge no-no. Would have wiped out the political career of almost anybody else. And people say, oh, no, it won't matter. It's basically been documented just how bad the grift was, right?
Yeah. I mean, we saw on, what was it, Thursday, the New York Times revealed that Trump, you know, got about $8 million from 20 different foreign governments during his presidency. This is based on a report from, you know, House Democrats from the Oversight Committee. It's 156 pages long, so it's quite thorough. And talks about how governments, you know, and their entities interacted with Trump-owned businesses, including the hotel in D.C., the hotel in Vegas, hotel in New York. And so, you know, it comes as, you know, Trump is running for president again and will almost certainly be the Republican nominee. And, you know, this is a guy who pledged to drain the swamp, who, you know, said he would be different. And he is the very definition of the swamp. This man is as corrupt gets. And it does not matter to his voters. And, you know, on some level, I actually feel a little sympathy for people like Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, because how do you compete with a cult of personality? You cannot. I saw something the other day that said, you know, a voter was saying that the only thing that would change their mind about Trump was if he were killed or, sorry, if he died or killed someone. Those were the only situations where they wouldn't vote for him.
Wow.
And I don't, like, we could have him on tape accepting a bribe and it would not matter.
Mm-hmm. And yet, Iowa caucuses are just over a week away. There's no sign of drama yet, is there, that there something might change in the outcome?
No, you know, barring an act of God, Trump will win the Iowa caucus. Really, the only question is who comes in second. Is it Nikki Haley? Is it Ron DeSantis? You know, it's extremely unlikely it would be Chris Christie or Vivek Ramaswamy. It certainly won't be Asa Hutchinson. You can pour one out for him. but there's no mystery. There's no surprise. You know, the only state that looks even vaguely competitive is New Hampshire. But, you know, you look at the polls nationally and across the country, Trump's up by 40 points, so 50 points. So, you know, he's pretty much sleepwalking to the nomination.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, let's suppose, let's game this out. And, you know, enough people actually, you know, do what they did in 2016, which would probably be an electoral college victory, but not a popular vote victory. But if lightning were to strike twice, we're hearing things about something called Project 2025, which would be the year that Trump would become president again. What is that all about?
So Project 2025 is this, you know, extremely conservative, right-wing document agenda prepared by folks, you know, at the Heritage Foundation and other, like, really far-right, you know, figures. It's almost 1,000 pages long. It's basically a blueprint for how to completely overhaul the United States and make it, you know, a far right Christian nationalist country where, you know, taxes for the rich are cut, taxes for the poor are raised, the Department of Education is gutted, workers have fewer rights, abortion is restricted and banned further. You know, there's so much to it. Again, it's almost 1,000 pages long, but it is, you know, exceedingly radical. And, you know, I encourage, I've read portions of it. I've not read the whole thing because, you know, not a lot of time in my day to read 1,000-page document, but I encourage people to read some of it or to read articles about it. Or we had some videos go up courtesy of Alan Piper, our correspondent on it. And we will have more in the works, actually. But basically, it would just, you know, the United States will not look the same if Trump wins and is able to do even a third of what's in that document.
All right. Well, that's the what if. Let's come back to the here and now, where we do have a Congress that is supposed to be focused on passing a budget, well overdue, but we keep getting these extensions. But now the next budget showdown over a government shutdown is right around the corner. And it appears that the entire mess of, and I'm not going to say the mess at the southern border, I'm going to say the mess created by Republican inaction about immigration reform is probably going to play a leading role in a potential shutdown. That's the way it looks, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. It's, you know, House Republicans took their little media stunt trip to the border this week. And, you know, they, you know, there's been efforts in the Senate to reach, you know, a pretty not great compromise on immigration, but they're at least making an effort. In the House, you see Republicans moving the goalposts at any given moment. They have an extreme bill they passed in the summer that they want to get done and are now threatening they will not accept any compromise. That's not that bill. They might shut down the government over it, which is a hell of a thing to, you know, shut down the government to solve a problem that you know only can be solved by government action. And so, you know, they're not a serious party. The border has become a bigger issue. The border is an issue. Like, we can't pretend it's not, but it's not. They have no interest in solving this problem or reforming our system into a humane, sane system. It is currently incredibly difficult to move to the U.S. legally. It has been very difficult for decades. So these people come because they have few options where they live in, you know, Venezuela and Central America. And our system is impossible to navigate. And we need to change that. But to change that, you need to actually negotiate something that makes sense, that helps them and that helps employers. You know, in Wisconsin and elsewhere, a lot of farms need migrant workers. You know, there's worker shortages all across this country, and there's low unemployment. So there's a lot that can be done. It just requires a party that actually cares about governing and not just using it as a political issue to elect the most extreme candidates they can find.
And then finally, we have the economy, which again, data, you know, data is real. Impressions,
it is real.
You know, people say perception is reality, but there is still the reality of the data out there. And so I wonder if, simply because I'm seeing so much coverage of it at the insider level, but do we think that this whole thing about voters thinking the economy and crime and other things are worse than they really are? Do we think that reality is at some point going to set in with a lot of voters, or is the right-wing message machine so good that we're going to hear this throughout 2024, that the economy is bad, that crime is up, and that up is down, and that's why they're supporting Trump?
I think it's... So I think on the issue of crime specifically, unfortunately, that is not just a right-wing media thing. That is your local TV news station that might otherwise do really good work. Crime is, you know, crime did go up in the pandemic. It has also since come down. Most people don't think that. Most people think their communities are safe, but other communities are dangerous. And that's strictly a construct of TV news and media. And short of our entire media system overnight changing how they operate, I don't know that that's going to change, unfortunately. Again, not to say crime's not an issue. There was a tragic mass shooting in Iowa on Thursday. Shootings happen all the time in this country because we have more guns than people. So crime is an issue.
It's an issue. And I'm sorry to jump in, but you say that, and a lot of people say that about inflation. They say, yes, things are still higher than they need to be. And I feel like we're all overly couching to say, yes, inflation is bad, crime is bad. Well, yeah, but it's never going to be zero. It's basically what I say about, you know, when people talk about welfare fraud, and we've got to cut people off. You're never going to get fraud down to zero for anything, not for welfare recipients and not for Wall Street CEOs. And so,
certainly not for Republican congressmen.
No. So as a result, I think at some point, rather than saying, yeah, we know there's still inflation out there, is to say, look, of every other developed country out there, we have the best, you know, inflation picture right now, the best economic picture, the best crime picture, and, you know, push back on this perception that becomes reality, even if the perception is wrong. But anyway, you've been a good sport for letting me end on a rant like this. Kiev Akil, check out his stuff, including his newsletter. Go to couriernewsroom.com for more on that. And Kia, thank you so much. Happy New Year again. Talk to you later.
Keep that. You too.
All right, see ya. All right. Reminder that if you're on the go heading out the door, you can still listen to this program and everything else across Civic Media. Listen through the app. You can put it through your car radio, through Bluetooth, if you're fancy that way. Listen in your AirPods as you go for your little walk. Download that app from Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. We'll have today's history lesson and more guests coming up on this Friday on Up North News Radio.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Badger fans, be there when Wisconsin football returns to Camp Randall Stadium in the fall. Secure your season tickets today and be in the crowd when the Badgers take on Alabama, Oregon, and more big opponents at Camp Randall Stadium in 2024. For more information and to purchase Wisconsin football 2024 season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
That's the first and only song I know that pays homage to FM radio, and it was on this day in 1940 that the Federal Communications Commission heard the first demonstration of FM radio. Interestingly enough, it wasn't really that appreciated in the early years, actually the early decades. It wasn't until what we now know as the classic rock era took over some of these FM stations that people began to appreciate and turn away from their AM stations. AM stations are, by and large, talk radio like this one. And we're glad if you're listening on an AM radio station that you're joining us here. But the Civic Media has a lot of fine FM stations, too. All demonstrated this day 84 years ago. On this day in 1914, the Ford Motor Company announced the 8-hour workday and a minimum daily wage of $5. On this day in 1933, construction of the Golden Gate Bridge began in San Francisco. Bruce Springsteen's debut album was released on this day in 1973. Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And this single, Blinded by the Light, did not catch on at first, but then Manfred Mann's Earth Band covered it and topped the charts in 1977 with the version many other people know and maybe not appreciate that it came from the Boss. Diane Keaton, the actress, is 78 years old today. Sonny Bono of Sonny and Cher died in a skiing accident near South Lake Tahoe at the age of 62 on this day in 1998. We already played a bit from The Wiz, which premiered this day in 1975. Later, we'll hear from The Supremes because they recorded Stop in the Name of Love at the Motown Studios in Dallas this day in 1965. Chris Stein, the co-founder, guitarist, and songwriter for Blondie, is 74 years old today. So keep this in mind. Keep Chris Stein in mind with Blondie. And, of course, with Blondie, most of us just think of, you know, Debbie Harry. As we get set to play this next song and tie them together, it was on this day in 1980 that the Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight became the first rap song to crack the top 40. Yes, it's an all skate.
Darn right it is.
I said a hip.
Now, originally, this song only got as high as number 36 on the charts, but history had been made. And now here's the part I didn't know. I'm waiting for Paul Harvey to come in and say, now here's the rest of the story. It was in late 1978. Bring that volume down a little bit in my headphones, please, Mr. Bach. It was on this day that Rapper's Delight hit the charts. 2 years earlier, late 1978, Debbie Harry is at a hip-hop event basically a playground in New York City with Chris Stein. They meet up with Nile Rodgers from Chic, who is still relatively unknown. And it was there, as they're watching various performers breakdance and highlight their boomboxes, that they started hearing the riffs and the freestyling that would lead to what eventually became Rapper's Delight. But it was right there, Debbie Harry and Chris Stein were right there at the center in encouraging people to grow rap music. And there you are.
There you go.
I did not know Debbie Harry and Chris Stein had a connection to the Sugar Hill Gang and Rapper's Delight.
As far as I know, this is the very first hip-hop record ever, because before this it was all live performances.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of hip-hop guys in the early days had the same idea as early jazz guys. This isn't a recorded music. This is a live music. You enjoy it live.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it made it really interesting to learn about this yesterday and see the growth of it as it moved into the recording studios. On the national calendars for today, this is National Day of Dialogue, which I think in the past we had like National Difficult Conversations Day. It seems like every couple of days we get this reminder, hey, use today to maybe try to mend fences with somebody. Maybe next week is National Mend Fences Day. I don't know. But today is National Day of Dialogue. So have that dialogue.
No, we just meant fix
somebody.
Your fence, buddy. Your dog gets out all the time.
It's funny because dialogue now, you think of maybe just basically text message balloons going back and forth. You know? You up? Yep.
That terrible just three dots.
The three
just,
little dots that just
and then
float
disappearing
there.
And coming back.
Yes. Are we in a dialogue or not?
What
I
are you
going to
say? Are you mad at me?
Hit the send button. Think Hemingway. Short sentences. This is simply, it just says here, simply National Bird Day.
Mm, so, I'll tell Jane Matinere.
Why is that?
She loves birds.
Oh, does she?
One of our reoccurring guests, he's on like, well, he's not on a lot, but when she finds a reason, she puts him on because we call him her bird boyfriend, birding boyfriend.
Birding boyfriend.
Because
like
he talks about it and she's just in heaven. And I love it. It's great.
Mm-hmm. No, we have several bird feeders out. It's always nice to see the cardinals. And in the spring, you get the orioles passing through. You know, they never stay. They're just on their way someplace else. So, yeah, happy bird day to those ornithologists who appreciate it.
Nice.
I think I got that right.
That's right.
that or a bunch of ophthalmologists are going to say, "What are you, who, me? What? Who are you talking about?" This is National Keto Day, which marks the one and only day out of the year you should be using going on a keto diet. I'm joking. I know nothing about a keto diet. I've never taken a particular diet and said, okay, now I'm on the keto diet or the Scarsdale or the, you know,
South
Jenny
Beach
Craig.
Or
South Beach. Yeah. But if anybody has one that really works, send me a note.
I don't know. Maybe if you talk to your wife, she'll just say, how about you exercise a little, eat a little better?
That's exactly what she would say. She'd say, you know, you could eat less and exercise. You know,
what do you know?
I know.
You're a
right?
doctor.
This is also a 12th day, the 12th day after Christmas, which apparently it's bad luck if you keep your Christmas decorations up after today. The 12th day of Christmas.
No, it's just called being obnoxious.
At that point, now you're just cheesing your neighbors off. You know, that's all it is. And last but not least, it is National Screenwriters Day. We talked earlier in the hour about comedy writers, screenwriters. Again, right up in there. Every word matters. Every word can make a difference.
Oh, so. And I believe I owe you something real quick here.
No, thank you. Yes.
Wingily dingily.
Higgledy piggledy is actually what I said.
Higgledy piggledy. Good Higgledy Lord. Piggledy.
It's scattershot. It's all over the place.
I'll give you a halfpenny for that car.
Still to come, we're going to talk to Nicole Safar from Law Forward about the gerrymandered maps finally being thrown out by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney talks about the January 6th anniversary. He has an op-ed you can find in this morning's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and I would think online as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, live from Lake Wasota, when you're here, you're up north on the Civic Media.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This